to Giving an Ass, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. My name is Harold Felder, and I'm your host. Today is a continuation from last week. Last week we had on Abdul, who was a Muslim and converted to Christianity. He was giving us his testimony, but we ran out of time. And just for those of you who weren't here last week, let me give you a little bit of a background on Abdul. He's an undergraduate in mathematics, MBA from Mercer, MBA in apologetics. He's pursuing an MBA in Master of Arts in Apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary. And he was giving his testimony last week, and he was explaining how he was raised a Muslim, how he has 18 brothers and sisters. He was raised in Africa. He has 18 brothers and sisters. His father is an imam, which is like a pastor. He had three wives, and he was explaining also how when he came to this country to pursue a degree, he became a Christian, and he married an African American, and his father was upset about that. And I think that sort of brings us up to where we're at. Mm-hmm. But I do remember part about you said that you memorized the Quran by the time you were 14. I'm never going to forget that.
Okay, good.
Okay. So let's take it from where you were at. You married an African American, and you told your father.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me back again.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. I made African American, so my father was against that completely.
And explain why. I know you touched on that before.
Why? Because my tribe, we just made between us. We don't used to go outside our family, outside our tribe to marry someone else.
Right.
Because some people who tried before never work out. Never. So we just decide stick in the family and blood. And sometimes it's really more about finances.
About finances?
Yeah.
How's that?
They want the money stay in the family.
Oh, because of the dowry.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They don't want nothing go out. And for them, the blood of Fulani is not cheap.
What do you mean?
For us, it's to be Fulani is not given to anyone.
It's an honor.
It's an honor to be Fulani.
Okay.
So you
okay.
don't need to go and mix our blood with someone.
Okay.
But that doesn't make no sense. That's traditional people, old people think like that.
Okay.
Believe me, so young people now don't think that at all. But they still love to be married to their Fulani sister.
Okay.
Yeah, because of tradition and culture. Same thing.
Right.
So that is a problem. But so I decided I'm going to go different than anyone there. So May 2003, I graduated. My father tried to bribe me just to come back home. He found a very good job for me. He asked me through my brother to apply for a oil company, ExxonMobil.
So has he forgiven you for becoming a Christian?
No, he never forgave me. But my father was ready to do everything to take me out of Christianity and bring me back home.
But at one time, didn't he basically say that if someone killed you, he would be happy about
that? Definitely. But this didn't work out because how are you going to send somebody over here to kill me?
Right.
He won't do that. So let now try the other thing. Because my father is very mad with me, but he loved me. I know that. He's really weak when he comes to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he just wants me do something excellent. He can tell, okay, that is my son. That's what he do. So he went through my brother. He said, you know what? Can you find a job for him at this position at ExxonMobil? Very good job, paying very good, having a very nice position there.
Yeah.
Because in Africa, if you have an American degree, you're definitely going to have the high position.
Okay.
Yeah, that's no doubt for that. So he got a job for me without telling me nothing. Paying very good, I had a basic salary. It was really almost $10,000 every 2 months and travel everywhere in the world.
Wow, okay.
So I jump in this thing.
You still looking for somebody to fill that position? No, I'm just joking.
No, definitely, I don't know who, now they found somebody to put in their position.
Okay.
So it wasn't really about money, but my father wanted me to be there.
Okay.
Because he wanted me to come back home. And since he's old, he wants someone who gonna take care of the business. And my father knew since age 7, I love business. I love everything when it comes to money. So he knew Abdul can do good when it comes to money.
You got the MBA.
Yeah, and it's not even that. But I learned on the street. Because when I used to work with him, I used to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I never been tired at work. long as the money is there, I will work.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Because I believe in hard work.
Wow.
And I believe on my own.
Yeah, because you were saying like you were supposed to be, you were on your own since seven?
Yeah, like we are working with him.
I'm still having a hard time.
Yeah, selling like cigarettes. And like they teach us very young how to be your own, be entrepreneurial mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I learned this so very early. So I got this job. I told my wife, you know what? I get a job home and I'm going to go home. So I went home. And
when was this?
That was last June.
Okay.
Last June. So I went home. July. So I went home and then at the airport, one of my friends met me at the airport. He told me I'd be here, come with me. Because your father say if you don't follow what he say, he ask people to kill you. And you are not ready to give up your faith.
So hold up. So what was your father going to do? Tell you to renounce Christianity?
Yeah.
And if you didn't, he was going to have someone kill you?
Exactly. So he told me to follow him. So I went with him and stayed at his house. He told me, Abdul, it's better for you to get out of the country or see what you're going to do. Because I cannot put you in this house for a long time. You know who's your father. He can find me.
Because your father's an important, powerful
man.
Yeah,
exactly. That's so easy. And that's easy. Like a poor country is just two levels.
And everyone knows who your father is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. He's an imam, so he's like a pastor.
No, that's the really no big deal. Like, and poor countries, that's very bad. But either you have or you don't have.
That's
how the poor countries work.
There's no middle class.
No,
there's like an upper class and a lower class.
No middle class in Africa. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Poor. So, and again, I called Larry Lee. I explained Larry Lee everything. Larry told me, you want to come back? I said, yes. Larry bought a ticket for me.
Larry paid it?
He bought a ticket, $2,500.
Wow.
Yeah, he bought a ticket for me to come back here. So I came here like last August.
Wow.
So and then like, he asked me, Abdul, what you want to do? You know what I told him, Larry? I want to witness the word of God to the Muslim. Because I saw how really Islam is a false religion and how people really following a dead God.
Yeah.
And asked him, what is the best school? And then he told me, Southern Evangelical Seminary.
My school.
So yeah. He said, that is the school, Abdul, you need to go. So I went to this school. I started last September. And really, I learned a lot. And being at Southern, I learned more about Islam today than what I know Islam for 30 years.
Wow.
Because like, I have really eager to learn both religions. So now I learn all them in and outside, and even like read the critic book about Islam. And
the critical books,
book like outside Islam and Christianity. Exactly.
Right.
So
right,
like
right.
Then like I have like better understanding about those two religions.
Right.
So last December I had my younger brother, 27, going to University of Cairo in Egypt, doing his PhD in Islam law.
He was doing a PhD in Islam law?
Yeah, in Egypt.
What does that mean, Islam law?
Like, what is, like, how it, like, the right of women?
Is that, like, Sharia law? Is
yeah,
that
Sharia, exactly, okay. The Sharia. That's, he was doing the Sharia, PhD in Sharia.
So that is, like, the law that you come on. If you follow Islam, that's the law that you're supposed to submit yourself to?
Yeah, they are the one, actually, who interpret the law when he come to Islam.
They're the interpreters of the law.
Exactly, that one. Like, that's really the highest position in Islam to do that.
So will he be like a judge or something?
No, imam.
Imam.
That's no doubt. That's what you're going to be. Because that's like the highest study you can do in Islam is Islam law. Sharia.
And so how long had he been going to school there?
He was going there, Mike. He went there since he was like 22. And he was just starting his PhD in Islam law. He started like 1 year ago to do his PhD there. And then I told Ibrahim, his name is Ibrahim. I told Ibrahim, you know what? Let's please put Islam and Christianity. You are my younger brother, I'm your older brother. I love you, you love me. Let's try to think 2004. Like people who have sense. I say, you know what? Islam and Christianity, all them, Christianity came from white people. Africa, you know animism, you don't know nothing. Christianity came from white people come and colonize us in Africa with the Catholic.
So is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I told him.
Okay, you said okay.
Christianity came from Europe.
Christianity came from Europe, okay.
And Islam came from for Middle East.
Right.
So okay. Really, if it, we are foreign of those religions.
So you're foreign for both of us, what
you're
saying?
For both religions.
Right, okay.
So let's be who we are. Let's be Fulani and try to analyze those two religions.
Okay.
And I say, you are smart. I know something. I know you're smarter than me because you do PhD. That's really you're smarter than me at age 27. I don't even think about that. So I say, can we have like adult discussion? He say, yes, we can do that. Exactly. Say, you're going to explain me your Christianity. And I told him I have some evidences about Christianity. I want him to know. And I would love if he has something about the Bible. So I use the 12 points. This little booklet was
tell people, I mean, what do you mean when you say the 12 points?
The 12 points show like how Christianity is a true religion.
Right.
Took you from point 1 to 12.
Right, it's
from
the 12 points to show that Christianity is true.
Exactly. It's a very good book. I advise a lot of people to buy this book. It just costs like $10, stuff like that.
It starts out with like, you know, the truth is knowable.
Exactly.
Then, you know, there must be a theistic God who created the universe.
Exactly.
And if he did, then miracles are possible.
So
he resurrected from the dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but the good thing with Islam agreed to the first 5 points.
Okay. Yeah, because it's a theistic religion.
So we agreed to the first 5 points. So when we start now talking about Christ is God, the Son of God, my brother say he don't believe in that. So I explained him, I say, read this book. And I told him, what, can we just read the New Testament together? We're doing like instant message, be on the phone for hours.
Yeah, did that?
Oh, yeah, we did this, yeah, we did this on the phone. Because he was really like, he wanted to learn about that.
Right.
About that. So he told me, you know what, I can maybe like give a time to learn all these things. And he told me, Abdul, you know what, you love evidences, but I'm going to show what is evidences. He told me, Abdul, I'm going to fly to Israel, to France, to Italy, to Spain. All your big Christian like Christ, Paul, where they went, I'm gonna try to see if really they went those places.
So he was gonna like trace the footsteps of Paul and the apostles and stuff?
He went to all those places. My brother went to all those places.
Wow.
Less than 2 months. He just took off.
Well, your family doesn't believe anything. You just tell him. I mean, he had to actually. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. He decided just like because like, for him that's because my father was using him to take me out of Christianity. So he's ready to put everything to prove me Christianity is a false religion. So he decided to travel everywhere. At the end, he found out really those people exist. So he told me. He know very good about Islam, but he never thought about one day tried like to go the footsteps of Muhammad.
Right, he never thought about the footsteps of Muhammad.
Exactly, or like the first mosque. He didn't
the first
even
mosque,
know.
Right.
The first mosque wasn't in Mecca, actually. It was in Jerusalem, all these things.
Jerusalem, yeah.
Yeah, we went to all these things. This February 24th, he called me, he said, Abdul, you are right. Christianity is more accurate than Islam.
How long have you been ministering to him?
2 months.
2 months.
From December to February.
Wow.
And he took one month in January just to travel all those places. He went to all those places. So he told me Christianity is more accurate. And tomorrow I'm going to go and talk to my dean. And I'm going
to
drop.
Talk to his who?
His dean.
What does that mean?
The fellow for his PhD.
Oh, the person who's in charge of his PhD program?
PhD, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, the dean of school.
Dean, okay,
yeah,
okay, dean okay
school,
I'm sorry.
So he said you're going to drop and like try to understand those religions. But he say, I'm gonna try to expect all those Muslims, they're wasting their time.
You're just gonna tell the Muslims that they're wasting their time?
Yeah, and he did it. After he dropped out his PhD program, he decided to found out everywhere in Egypt. Can you believe Egypt? That's an Islamist country.
Yeah.
Fundamentalist. He was going mosque by mosque, university by university, to tell people Islam is a false religion.
He was doing this, I mean, just by himself.
By himself. People tell him, be careful. He told them already, he rather die for what he believe than live in the darkness. But that wasn't surprise because, like, again, coming from my tribe, that's nothing. Like, at this time, I am ready to die for what I believe. I will have no regret for that.
Right.
And I will be happy to die for it. So he did these things. March 14. They had a conference about Islam law and the women at University of Cairo. And he decided to tell them the truth, what he believed in Islam and what happened to wherever he traveled. that was the wrong meeting to be. A lot of Muslim fundamentalists was there. In March 15, he received a phone call. People, somebody telling him, you need to be careful. He called his roommate. He told him, what, somebody called me and told me to be careful. His roommate told me, what, you need to be careful what you're doing. He said, okay. March 16, around 9 o'clock in the morning, his roommate knocked his door. He didn't answer. He pushed the door. The door was open. He was dead with 6 bullets. 6 bullets, 3 in chest, 3 in his stomach. He was gone.
Did they know who did it?
They saw kind of, Egypt is a Muslim fundamentalist country. The police can arrest you because you speak out against Islam. So really, they never did a good investigation. They're still looking, they say. And my father decided to don't pursue.
Your father's not pursuing it?
No.
Why not?
No, because he said, you know what? He leave it to God. He leave it to Allah. Allah gonna do justice for people who did this to his son. But my father was so furious with me. Because like the first thing after Ibrahim passed away, he called me, Abdul, you killed my son.
He told you that you killed his son?
And that was the youngest in the family.
He was the youngest?
Yeah, 27. Engaged 6 months. Getting married maybe this summer.
He's supposed to get married in this
summer? Yeah, this summer. So I told him, you know what? I understood that this time he was really mad, and some people in the family was mad. But a lot of people after that was really rebelling against Islam. They say, why just someone tell his expression and you're gonna kill him?
Right, someone just expressed their belief and was killed for it.
And after that, like some people ask me, Abdul, can you explain us about Christianity? And I had like two sisters.
Two your sisters?
Two my sisters. They wanted bought their Bible, French Bible. Actually, one left her husband because like her husband came home and found her reading the Bible. And he told her, I'm going to burn this book and you better for you to choose between you, between me or this Bible. My sister told her, you know what? You are the wrong person today. My sister decided to leave him.
So your sister Christian now?
She's looking in.
Okay.
She's looking in. She's still with my brother now. And the other sister, she's still reading the Bible. And people just like my telephone ring every day, Abdul. We want to know about God.
Who's calling you?
People from home.
People from your country?
From my country. My brother friend and lot of friends. Because they say that's a stupid, because this young man, because he just went to the debate, like same thing like we had debate today, like that, and someone decided to kill me.
If we had a debate,
yeah,
right?
That don't make no sense.
You have a debate and, and one person loses and then
yeah,
another person
decides
to kill
him.
That
don't make no sense. So a lot of people started to looking up in Islam. And even here, like in North Carolina, in Greensboro, they have a lot of Muslim there. When they hear that, people ask me about Christianity all the time. And now we have like a couple of Christians from there who just decide to come. Couple of Muslim who decide to come to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In Greensboro, North Carolina.
Wow.
And we just have like, yesterday the Gideon Bible sent 100 Bible in my country to people from my family.
So God used the death of your brother to lead other people to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And that's one of the things that, you know, one of the reasons why I did want to invite you on, because a lot of people, like I was saying before in other show, a lot of people think that Christians, they don't realize that people, the Christians are still being persecuted.
Oh, definitely.
Around the world. You know, people live here, mm-hmm. and it's a cheap Christianity. It's, mm-hmm. it's a Christianity that, you know, people, they're not really steadfast in it. They're willing to give it up for any trial or tribulation that may come. They don't realize, they're not willing to die for it. They're not willing to sacrifice at all for it.
Yeah, because but if you know it's something after this life, and everything really depends on your faith. Because like for us, if you decide to be in something, you need to be 100%, not 50-50.
Right.
Not 50-50.
I think you were saying, I heard you say one time that your father told you when you were young, something mm-hmm. about if you don't believe in something.
Yeah, my father told us, if you don't have something to die for, you're just taking somebody's place. He told us, one day if you get to the point in your life, you don't have nothing to die for, you're just wasting your time, and you're taking somebody else's place in this life.
He probably never had any idea that it would be, you know, you willing to die for Christianity.
Oh, no, he never thought this was going to happen to him. He never thought this was going to happen to his, like, two of his boys. this has happened to them, like one passed away, and like now I'm Christian and trying to witness to them. My father can believe that.
What about your mother?
My mother passed away last August because like what happened, my mother had like a heart surgery bypass.
She had a heart surgery bypass? Okay.
And one day they was talking about me, and like my mother decided to tell my father, you know what, I am fed up with you talking about Abdul. Let this young man do his life what he wants to do. And that was the, she make a mistake again, because my father, you cannot like, especially women, look at my father and tell him what to do. So my father just beat her to the death. That was August 13, 2004.
So you're saying that your father beat your mother to death because your mother was trying to intercede on your behalf.
August 2004 to February 2005, my mother and my brother passed away. My mother because of me, because she would tell my father, let him do what he want. And Ibrahim, because he decided to go against Islam.
I don't know. You sort of leave me a little speechless here. This is just really powerful stuff. I mean, you are an example of what Christians should be. When we look at the early church, we see how Christians were persecuted, and we see that the church grew through persecution. That persecution is part of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the line, we've lost that. Somewhere along the line, we've come to the conclusion that God owes us something, that we're supposed to be financially stable, that we're supposed to be happy, that only good things are supposed to come to us. That's simply not scripture.
Yeah.
And you're an example of what it's really all about. You're an example of what the early church did. You're an example of what the apostles did. The apostles actually went out and put their life down on the line and actually lost their lives, save one.
Yeah, that's it. Life is about that. Life is about it. And like I say, like I'm not the only one who go through this. In India, in Pakistan, in Iran, people go through this like every day. I'm just the one is in America, and you can hear that. But it's millions of people who go this persecution every single day. And the only thing I can tell to Christian, let's get out here and witness the word of God. Because when you die, you're gonna go by yourself.
Yeah.
This I told my wife, please, if I die, don't buy casket for me. Found $1, just a white fabric, put me in there and go. Don't spend no money with me. The money, use this money to witness people and be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I know you called me yesterday, and I was talking to you on the phone yesterday, and you asked me a really bizarre question. I must say this is a bizarre question. You said, Harold, I'm thinking about starting a ministry to minister to Muslims. Do you think that's a good idea?
Oh, definitely.
Yes, one of the best ideas I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's needed.
It's very well, and you've been doing that.
Yeah, I've been doing that, and now I just want to take this to other level. I'm going to keep witnessing by myself and the little staff with a couple of my African brother who came to the Lord. We're going to witness to other Muslims. We have 5,000 Muslims in Greensboro. 5,000, that's what we number, and all them came from Nigeria. But the thing we want to do, I go to the churches almost every Sunday to speak out about my testimony, but now I want people who hear my testimony, because almost anyone who live in this country interact with a Muslim every day. If you work in corporate America, so we want those people to get trained how to approach the Muslim. And please take the good news to them. That's what you want to do in my ministry. It's two goals we have. We're going to keep witnessing the Muslim, and we want to train people to go and witness the Muslim.
Now, I know that you go to the mosque now.
Oh, yeah, I go to the mosque, and I go like every Friday I have time. I make sure I go to the mosque. I have very good relationship with the imam. We talk like very often. I have his cell phone, all his phone now. I know where he lives, and I go every twice a month in Greensboro or Atlanta to talk with the Muslim. Like, they are part of my life.
Yeah, they are part of my life.
Yeah. I talk maybe to Muslim more than anyone, not today.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. We talk together.
And I know you actually brought some Muslims to, we both go to the same church, Southern Evangelical Church. And did you explain what happened there?
Yeah, like when they came and hear Dr. Geisler, there was Dr. Geisler, thanks God, Dr. Geisler was preaching about to.
Yeah, Dr. Geisler is the pastor and also our professor and the dean of Southern Evangelical Seminary.
Exactly, wrote 1,000 books.
Yes, he's written books on, yeah, exactly, on everything. He's been on the show before. Yeah,
yeah, Dr. Geisler was teaching about the reliability of the Bible.
Reliability of the Bible, right.
So I explained them about what he was preaching. I said, you know what, just let's look at the reliability of the Quran. Most of them really care about evidences.
Yeah, okay.
They care about evidences. So one just checked by himself, and he decided to come to Lord Jesus Christ. So the other two thinking about it.
So they were really impressed with the evidence for Christianity.
Oh, definitely, they was very impressed. They was very impressed. You cannot tell a Muslim just read John 3:16 and tell them to come to the Lord. No, that's going to be very hard. We need evidences. Give us the facts.
One of the things, and you sort of touched on it, is that one of the reasons why it would be so difficult is because it's not just a religion, it's a whole culture.
It's a whole culture, it's a whole tradition. We are born in.
Right.
We are born in. It's not about religion. We are born in. And it's a religion who show you a discipline. You pray 5 times a day.
Yeah, yeah.
You pray 5 times a day. Respect your parents. It's a discipline. It's a lot of discipline. I don't say Christianity have a lot of discipline, of course, but we use Christianity how we want. Like even the Quran, you will never see a Muslim having Quran mark, because that is the holy
book. You never see what?
A Muslim marking his Quran.
Oh, you never see Muslim
marking
his
Quran. No, you won't see that.
Okay.
Or like the Quran with the dust. No, you will never see that.
Oh, you never see dust
in
Quran?
No, you will never see that. And like before even you touch the Quran, you need to wash your hand.
You have to wash your hand before you touch it.
Because it's a holy book. It's a serious business.
Right.
But I'm sorry, some Christian, like they have the Bible behind their car.
On the floor.
Yeah.
You stepping on my toes now. I've got a Bible under my seat and my car's all ragged.
Yeah, or maybe you got to check only on Sunday morning before you get in the church.
Yeah. You're
but I
right.
just want to see, like, let's take the word of Christ seriously, because that's his only one last.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we're all going to face him.
We're all going to face him.
I don't know, because we cannot, the only way we can escape the death is if Christ came back now.
Right.
That's it. Or that you're going to die,
right.
And we're going to be raised, and we're going to face him. So
yeah.
What are we going to tell?
How can people get in touch with you?
Okay.
You have an email address?
I have an email address.
Okay.
Abdul73.
Abdul, A-B.
D-O-U-L.
D-O-U-L.
73. At Hotmail.
At Hotmail.
.com.
Mail.com.
And my phone number is 704.
Okay.
3427.
That's it. Now I want to have you back on once your ministry is up and running, and we're going to talk about that again. Okay.
I'll be very happy to do that.
Time is running out now. Time has run out.
Thank you very much. God bless
thanks
you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks
thank
a lot.
You
thank
you.
Thanks a lot for joining the show. This win this edition. If you have any questions, comments about the show, questions about Christianity, give me a call, email me. Until then, until next week. Well, be sure to join me again next week. But until then, goodbye and God bless.